بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي، اللهم فاعلم ما علمتنا علمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq for being here. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgive all our sins from this Mubarak gathering, the gathering of obtaining knowledge. May Allah make it easy for us to obtain something before we go. Allow us the tawfiq to give it to others as well, to convey this message to others. We're going to be talking about the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Currently, we're in the fourth year of Hijrah, which is the fourth year of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he migrating to Medina. And so the session that we had last week was actually the precursor or the preface to this part today, which is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having to go through his experience. If you remember last week, we talked about how there were these two big events that happened where the Prophet lost a lot of his companions, right? And one of them, when he sent them out for da'wah to invite people to Allah Ta'ala, he lost about 10 of his companions there. Another group where he sent about 70 or so, Qurra, great scholars of Islam, to go teach Islam, the people ambushed him from the area of Najd. And they ended up slaughtering and killing all 70 of them, except for one person who they left behind for him to go and give the message. So this person mistakenly, if you remember, he killed two people on the way back because he thought that he could do so. He found out that it was a mistake because the Prophet gave him protection. Thereafter, the Prophet went to Bani Nadir to ask for, we should pay the blood money together. And long story short, after Bani Nadir, they tried to fight back. The Prophet ended up banishing them and said, get out of here. And they left their property for the Muslims to take over. And so thereafter, mashallah, the Prophet ﷺ was able to take it. And he actually, after that, the Prophet ﷺ never trusts any messages from the Jewish tribes anymore. So the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba, said, I don't trust these messages that they're giving me because everything's being translated. So the Prophet ﷺ said, is there any Sahabi who can learn the language and be able to translate? And so Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, young boy. Zayd radiallahu anhu, he was a young boy, he raised his hand, like meaning in his teenage years. Say, Ya Rasulullah, I can do it. The Prophet said, okay, go ahead and do it. Zayd radiallahu anhu said, within 15 days, I learned the Jewish language. I could read, write, and translate. This is how much love they had to fulfill the command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He comes back and now he's able to relay messages back and forth. And so now the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is in a predicament. The predicament is this, is that every single time he sends out people to, because the Quraysh put him in such a bad spot that now whenever he sends people out to give da'wah, people are attacking them. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, again, is never reactive. The Prophet is always proactive. He tries to make sure he handles problems before they get any worse. So when the people of Najd attacked the Prophet like so, with 70 or so, you think the Prophet would let that go? The Prophet said, all right, Sahaba, get ready. 700 of them get ready. 800 of them get ready. This huge number goes out to the area. It's called the Battle of Dhat al-Riqa'. When the Sahaba had to go up to the area of Najd, there was a place where it was like very thorny and very difficult to walk through. The Prophet wanted to ambush. So he told them to walk through there. And so they walked and ended up their sandals getting torn. And their slippers and their shoes being torn to the point they were bleeding from their shoes, and they had to tie riqa', they had to tie wraps around their feet to be able to walk through it. The Sahaba did so. 700 of them go over there. They ambush the area. Now the people of Najd are terrified. Imagine 700 people coming out of nowhere and attacking in one spot. They're all scared to death about this Nabi alayhi salam able to get so many people ready in a short amount of time. So now the Prophet made the message clear. He said, don't ever try something like that again. And to the point, the Prophet sallam, because he was waiting for them to surprise attack. So there's a certain prayer you can make when you are expecting the enemy to attack you. It's called Salatul Khawf. Salatul Khawf is the prayer in which two people, you'll pray in two rows. And so it's literally the imam will pray one rakat, and then the rows, the first row behind him will pray one rakat with him, and the second row will go out to go and fight, right? And then while the imam is finishing the first rakat, then what happens is the second row that went out, it will come back to finish their rakat, and the first row will go out and fight. And so the imam is praying it, and these people are going back and forth doing this type of thing. It's very terrifying. Imagine Muslims are praying while fighting you. You know, like that's pretty much what's happening here. So these two rows will go back and forth, and basically the two rakats will be done like so. And then this would induce a fear in the people that are in front of them. The Prophet says, and pray this prayer in front of them, saying that we're not scared of anything you have to do. Right? This is when Salat al-Khawf came down. Imagine that. Even on the battlefield, Salah is not missed. Yeah, we make excuses for everything to miss Salah. People say, how many Jumas can I miss before my heart is sealed? This is the type of questions we get. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding that there should be no excuse to miss prayer ever. We should always have a, you know, there's no excuse to miss prayer. Okay. So the Prophet, he goes to Zatul Riqa' and he does this. He makes the message clear. And then he goes and says, all right, it's about time. He tells Sahaba, it's about Dhul Qa'dah now, the fourth year of Hijrah. The Prophet said, last year we had this incident happen Uhud. And Abu Sufyan told us, he said, we're going to meet again in Badr next year. It's next year time. The Prophet said, okay, Sahaba, get ready. The last time the Prophet got about 700 Sahaba together. This time he gets 1,500 ready. 1,500 ready to go out, to go to Badr. The Prophet says, we'll wait at Badr. Abu Sufyan said, he's coming, we're going to wait. So they go to Badr, they wait there for 8 days, 8 long days. What's happening in Makkah? Abu Sufyan is getting ready. He got together 2,500 people. 2,500 people come out and they go out to a little bit far. And now everyone starts to get nervous and starts to panic and starts to sweat. And people start getting scared. So now they're hearing the numbers that are coming from Medina. And so now Abu Sufyan, he makes a very, what do you call it, political strategy, political move, right? Kind of like one of the things you hear from the Modi type things, you know? So what happens is what? He goes and says, you know, guys, you know, this is not the right year for this. We don't have any money right now. We don't have any money right now. This is a year of drought and famine. You know, we should go when we have money. This is the right time to fight. So you know what? Everyone, let's just go home. No need to go into any battle. No need to go into any war. So then Abu Sufyan actually goes back to Makkah. 8 whole days, the Prophet is there waiting for people to come. No one is coming. Now, how embarrassing is it for the Quraysh? That they see that the Prophet was ready, armed, and ready to go, and they run away with their tails between their legs. The Prophet made the point clear. He said, you are not allowed to do this to the people of Medina. Now the Arab tribes are getting scared again of the Prophet. The Prophet doesn't stop there. He says, no, there's a bit more we need to do. So then he tells the Sahaba, Sahaba, get ready. He brings together another 1,000 people together. He says, we're going to go to the end of Arabia, which is an area called Domatul Jandal. They go to Domatul Jandal, which is basically the area between Arabia and Rome, the Roman lands. The Prophet says, we're going to go there. It's going to take 16 days to get there, 16 days to get back. The Prophet, he heard that people are plotting and planning against him in that area and are attacking caravans, they're attacking trade routes. The Prophet, he said, I want to show all of Arabia, we're not here to harm them. We're here to protect them. We're not here to harm them. We're here to protect them. So the Prophet says, everyone, let's all go to Domatul Jandal. We're going to stop them from attacking the caravans. The Prophet, he goes out, they travel by nighttime. He wants no one to know about this massive 1,000 army, soldier army going out and attacking, you know, going as far as they can. The Prophet makes it, you know, as silent as he can, this huge army traveling. They finally reach there. No one's expecting them at all. The Khuda'a tribe that the Prophet was supposed to be fighting, Khuda'a, they get so scared. They're like, my God, where did this army come from? And they start fleeing. So the Prophet, for the next couple of days, he tells all the people to come together. And he tells them that go out. He says he sends out like groups of 20 and 30 and 50 and 60. He says, go out to wherever the areas are here. Make sure that you find them. And if you find them, you finish them. SubhanAllah, no bloodshed, nothing. These incidents I just told you. The Prophet did not fight at all. Because he doesn't like bloodshed. The Prophet, the reason why he attacks first is because he doesn't want to fight. Because if you attack first, then people get scared and they run away. And even Domatul Jandal, the Prophet makes the point resoundingly clear to all of the Quraysh and all of Arabia, we're not here to hurt you. We're here to save you and protect you. A man was there and the Prophet speaks to him and he's the only person that came from the Khuda'a tribe. The only person that came. The Prophet said, where's your army? He's like, oh, I'm sorry, the army's not here. The Prophet talks to him. The man accepts Islam. SubhanAllah. The Prophet makes his point clear to everyone. Allahu Akbar. And so he does this. So these are the three things that happen within the year where the Prophet wasallam, he shows everyone within Arabia, whoever is there, that we're here to help you. We're not here to hurt you. And the Prophet wasallam, he was able to bring back stability into Medina. Now people can rest easy again and comfortably with comfort. Now mind you, 16 day journey and 16 day back, it's like a 40 day Jamaat, you know? MashaAllah. And you get a chance, alhamdulillah, to spend a lot of time with the Sahaba. The Sahaba, you know, they spend a little time with each other. They're always doing things and this and that. But now, alhamdulillah, 30, you know, whole 30 days they're spending with each other. They're getting to know each other. They end up falling in love with one another. They're very devout. They love each other for the sake of Allah. The Prophet actually in Medina, he leaves behind someone from the Lifadi tribe. The Lifadi tribe is like the Bloods and Crips from New York area. They hardcore guys, right? So the Lifadi tribe is like a bloody and violent tribe. The Prophet leaves one of the Lifadi Sahabi. He says, you're in charge of Makkah, Medina. As a governor. Why did the Prophet do that? Because he wanted to train them, saying that no matter who's in charge of you, as long as he's a Muslim, you listen to him. So there was no issues in Medina. This is how well the training of the Prophet was. He trained them while going out to the travel, and he trained them while they're in the city. So now everyone, mashallah, is becoming this, you know, full of love and muhabbah. Because why? The Prophet needs to make sure that the ummah doesn't look at tribes and nationalism and colors and whatever. The Nabi wanted to make sure that everyone just looked at the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, because that's the only way this ummah is going to survive wherever we go. The Prophet makes makes his point very clear with the people that are going with him. And when he comes back to Medina, everything is fine. And then finally, ultimately, what you find is that even big Arab tribes, this person named Uyayna ibn Hisn, Uyayna radiallahu anhu, he becomes a Sahabi much later. Uyayna, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is a person that has 10,000 soldiers. He comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina and says, "Oh Messenger, oh," he says, "Oh Muhammad, I need to ask you permission. Can we graze our camels around here? Is it okay?" He's so scared of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man having 10,000 soldiers. He says, "Oh Prophet, you do give us permission to graze around here? Is it okay?" Prophet says, "Yeah, you can graze, no problem." This is how much control the Prophet is able to get back after people killed the Sahaba like so. After this, and why this is leading into the next part, is because when you have the external enemy, which is the kafir from Quraysh, and you have the internal enemy, which is the internal enemy, the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. And so they don't like that the Muslims are enjoying this much. They don't like that they're getting this much property. They don't like the fact that they're getting this much safety and security. And so now they're scheming and plotting, how can we cause a problem within the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How can you cause a problem amongst the Muslims? So this leads us right into the next battle, which is Banu Mustariq. This was a tribe that had a connection with the Quraysh. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets ready 700 people. And what he finds is, surprisingly, when he goes and gets the roll call, he asks people to join the battle. The Sahaba, of course, who are ready, they always join. And then he finds a bunch of hypocrites are joining. And he's wondering why. And they're having the discussion amongst them. They're like, "Man, we missed Banu Nadir. We could have gotten some property. We missed this battle. We could have got some money. We lost this and that." And so they want to get some profits. They lost so much money. They're like, "Maybe if we join this battle, we'll get something." So Banu Mustaliq, they join this battle. The Prophet goes out. He hears the news that Harith, the leader of them, is plotting an attack against him. So Harith is plotting against the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ goes out again and he stops the battle before it starts, like he normally does. And so he goes out there. They meet in a place called Muraysiyah. When they reach this, it's a water source. It's a pond, Muraysiyah. When they go there, and the Prophet ﷺ sees again that he caught them by surprise. So there's a whole bunch of soldiers scrambling. Some of them don't even they're getting their swords ready. Some of them don't even have the lungis on properly. They put it on quick, like, "Oh, we gotta fight you." And then so 10 of them get killed and the rest of them flee. And the Prophet ﷺ captures about 100 or so people as prisoners from 100 different families. Some narrations mention 200 people. They're all prisoners. So the Prophet ﷺ says, "Okay, now since you're captives, you can take such and such, such and such." Now everyone gets basically some prisoners with them. There's this one woman with the Prophet gave to Thabit bin Qais, radiallahu anhu. He gives a woman named Juwayriya, radiallahu anha, right? So he gives Juwayriya to Thabit, and she is the princess. She's actually the daughter of Harith from before, the leader. She's actually the daughter. So she comes, and Aisha, radiallahu anha, describes it. She says, "I saw her, and she was extremely attractive. And I already knew from looking at her that I would not like her." And she has a reason for it. And the reason is because the Prophet ﷺ, when she goes to meet the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ receives a message from an angel. And so when she comes to meet the Prophet ﷺ, she says, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, it's not befitting of me. I'm under Thabit. He took me as his prisoner. But I made a deal with him that I'll pay him such and such money so I can be freed. I request you," she goes and says, "I request you, being a noble woman like I am, that you need to pay this money to Thabit so I can be free." So then the Prophet ﷺ says, "Can I offer you something better?" Because he got the message from the angel. The angel came to then told the Prophet what? Said that this is your wife. You need to marry her. So the Prophet says, "Can I offer you something better? I'll pay off the ransom and I'll free you and you'll become my wife." She said, "I accept." Right? She becomes a Muslim, mashallah. Now check this out. The Sahaba hear that Juwayriya, the princess, is now the wife of the Prophet. So they look at all the prisons they have from Bani Mustaliq and they say, "These are the in-laws of the Prophet." In-laws of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Normally, you and I would be like, if we can take advantage of our in-laws, we'd be more than happy. But Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, were saying, if these are the in-laws, everyone is free. They go and announce to all the people, say all of them are free. Then what after that, when they see the respect and honor of these Muslims, they all accept Islam. This is all without our father knowing, Harith. So what is he doing? He hears the news that his daughter was captured, his tribe was captured. He's panicking. So what does he do? He gets put together a whole bunch of ransom money, a whole bunch of stuff, and he gets a bunch of camels together. He says, "I'm going to give all these camels to the Prophet and I'll see if I can free my daughter," right? So he comes to Medina with all of this stuff with him. And then he sees, he looks back, he's like, "There's some two nice, really nice camels. I can give him everything else, but not these two." So then he hides it in a valley. He says, I'll come back and get them. He parks his camels and he takes the rest of them to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he goes and says, oh, Messenger of Allah, I need you to free my daughter. These are the camels. Okay. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because he receives messages from Allah Ta'ala, he says, what about the other two? So the man accepts Islam and he hears the news that and he's, it's, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, don't worry, your daughter's been freed. Everyone's been freed. Everyone knows them accepted Islam. He thanks Allah Ta'ala for it. Such an amazing experience in Banu Mustalif, you know? At the same time, the hypocrites are not having it. So within the area, when they went to travel for Bani Mustalik, two things happened. One of them is this little fight that they brought against the Sahaba. And the second thing is what they said about Aisha radiallahu anha. The first thing about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they were drinking water from the water source, there was a muhajir, one of them came from Mecca, and Ansari, one from Medina. So they ended up getting into a little fight, something that happened. And so the Muhajir, actually, he hits the Ansari, he kicks him. And so the Ansari, he gets upset, and the Muhajir gets upset. So now the Muhajir goes and says, oh, my Muhajir brothers. And the Ansari goes and says, oh, my Ansari brothers. Right? And they start calling people by their tribes. And then they start to say, we're going to go to fight with one another. And so the Prophet hears this, and he goes there, he rushes there immediately. And he says, stop this. This is something which is filthy. This stinks. This is disgusting. Muntina. It's something nasty and filthy. Don't ever mention things like this, like tribes and things like that again. But the person who was there from the hypocrites, his name was Abdullah bin Ubay ibn Salul. I hope by now we know this guy is not the best guy in the world. He's the leader of the munafiqeen, leader of the hypocrites. Abdullah bin Ubay says that these muhajir, these emigrants have come to Medina and they think they can boss us around. When we go back to Medina, لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلِ The noble from us will take out the lowly from us. In other words, he says the lowly, the noble are us and the lowly is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. So one young guy named Zayd radiallahu anhu, Zayd bin Arqam radiallahu anhu, he goes and says, I have to tell the Prophet, and he said such things. So he goes to the Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, Abdullah, he said such and such. He said that you guys are lowly and they're honored people. And the Prophet says, are you sure Abdullah said that? And then he brings Abdullah. Abdullah says, Wallahi, O Messenger of Allah, I have no idea what he's talking about. He's totally lying. Ma qultu ma qala. I didn't say what he said. Right? I didn't say any word like that. And he said, Wallahi, I did. He said, well, I'm a believer. So now, one of the Ansar there, one of the people from Medina there said, Ya Rasulullah, maybe Zayd made a mistake. He's a young boy, maybe he made a mistake. And Zayd felt miserable. Imagine that someone, you know, this is in front of the Prophet of Allah. How bad would you feel? That man, I told him the real news and he's not believing me. So Zayd said, I felt something in my heart I never felt before. So he sat down so sad. And he said, and I waited just a couple of moments. And then the Prophet calls me over, and Allah Ta'ala, and Prophet calls me over and says, Zayd, you are right. Allah revealed the entire Suratul Munafiqun, the Surah of the Hypocrites, for Zayd radiallahu anhu. And in there, Allah Ta'ala, he tells Zayd that you were right and they were wrong. Now, Abdullah is totally embarrassed. And he is looking for something he can target, something he can find. In this time, right before this incident of the entire battles here, in the battle of Banu Mustariq, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam receives the command of hijab. So now all the women are covered. They cover from head to toe. They cover their faces, niqab, everything. So in his battle, he brought with his one wife. He usually takes lots, you know, like you pick like a straw. And so the Prophet has about three or four wives that he married so far. And so in order to choose which one will come with him in the travel, he would say, pick one of the straws, basically. And so if it comes out to their name, then they come with him. So the one that came with him at that time was Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha. And so now while they're coming back, Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates this herself. This is a hadith of Bukhari. It's a long hadith in Bukhari. It's an amazing hadith in Bukhari. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that when I was carried on the camel, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we used to have a hawdaj. In English, it's called a palanquin. You know, like when you cover, you have like a little room on top of a camel and it has curtains on top. Right? So the wives of the Prophet used to travel like so because no one's allowed to see them. The Prophet says, make sure that his wife was completely covered. You know, this is how much imagine subhanAllah, this is how much a camel was covered. Imagine how they used to do back at home, how much hijab they used to do. So in any case, she was covered like so. And she said, and so I was traveling like so. We heard the news that we're about to get back to Medina soon. So I decided to go out and go use the restroom. So she says, I got out of the palanquin of the hawdaj and I went out to use the restroom. When I did so, I didn't hear the news that everyone started to get up and get going. Okay, everyone started to get up and get going. When they all started to get up and get going, Aisha radiallahu anha said, when I finished coming back, I saw that everyone left. And they didn't notice I left. I wasn't in there, because she said, in our time, we were very light. We didn't have a lot of flesh on us. So when the person put it back onto the camel, he didn't realize I wasn't in there. Right? And she says, we didn't carry a lot of weight because we used to eat very little. So we were very thin. So no one even noticed I wasn't in the Hodej. So then she says, I got a little stuck because my necklace that I had, I couldn't find it. Her necklace got cut and all the beads fell off. So she was busy picking it up, and basically the entire army basically leaves. And they leave behind Aisha radiallahu anha with the necklace, and she's trying to fix it. And she tells herself, she says legitimately, she says that they'll come back for me. Once they realize I'm not in the Hodej, they'll come right back for me. So then she sits down and she just waits there. She waits with her necklace, etc. And then she gets tired. So she falls asleep. You know, the whole night goes, basically she's resting. There's one boy, one man named Safwan. Safwan radiallahu anhu, Sahabi. He was in charge of picking up anything that fell behind from the army. So everyone else left, but Safwan is coming. He's just picking up stuff that he sees. And then he sees something, you know, some black figure in the distance. And he gets closer to it because she's covered in completely black, right? So he comes to see her and he sees, oh my God. And he says very loudly, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Aisha radiallahu anha says he knew me because before hijab, he saw my face. So he knew how I looked. So he knew that it was me, Aisha. So now Safwan says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, to alert Aisha. So Aisha then wakes up, she covers herself with a niqab, and then she says, I covered my face. And then he went out to go grab something. He comes back with a camel. He brings back the camel to Aisha radiallahu anha, and he places her on her. He basically leaves the camel, he walks back, and then she gets onto the camel. And then Safwan radiallahu anhu, she says, Wallahi, he didn't even speak a single word to me. He didn't say anything to me other than the Inna ilayhi raji'un. I didn't hear anything from him. That's what Aisha radiallahu anha says about herself. So then when Safwan comes back, he pulls the camel. He doesn't even look back. This is how respectful he is of Aisha radiallahu anha. But here is the problem, is that Abdullah and the Munafiqeen were looking for something to say. And this is what happens. And this is why as Muslims, we have to be very careful about this, is that we put ourselves in dangerous positions that people can say something. We put ourselves in dangerous positions so that people can say something. A husband and wife will love each other so much. But then what happens is that he decides to go on Facebook and he decides to message someone. And he was just messaging casually. And then what happens is what? She finds it. And then she gets upset. Or that he goes on Instagram and then he sees a woman starts liking his picture. And all these different things. Who caused the problem? We caused the problem. And many marriages, unfortunately, this is the problem that we see, is that people put themselves in bad situations. They end up having this problem, and then what happens? You get waswas and whispers and shaitan. And then why were you talking to this guy? Why were you talking to that woman? Why were you talking to the ghayr mahram? And all these different things. And then we allow waswas to enter. This is why, mashallah, we don't see a Maulana giving dawah at a movie theater. Why? Oh, he was actually trying to catch the end game or whatever. You know? Because we know that people, they see one thing, they'll assume a million things. And we put ourselves in these bad situations. Why do you have a Tinder? Why do you have a Minder? Why do you even have any of these things? Why, after you getting married, do you have any of these things? Why do you allow the door of shaitan to open so that people can say something about it? And marriages get destroyed by this. Wallahi, they get destroyed by this. You know? And then what, you know, and Allahu Akbar, it's just so tragic, such a tragedy. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she comes back to Medina, and now people are talking. The Munafiqeen found it. They found that one thing they were looking for. So they end up whispering and whispering and whispering, and all this waswasa starts happening. Aisha radiallahu anha says, I didn't know anything. I got sick when I got back to Medina, and I was bedridden for a long time. I was very sick. And so this rumor is spreading about such and such and such and such, and I'm just resting in my bed. I didn't even know any of this is happening. Right? So she imagined. So then what happens is one day, and she noticed one thing though. She said, I noticed one thing. The Prophet ﷺ would love me so much. He would love me so much. He would treat me so well. He'd speak to me so nicely. But then after this incident happened, she said, whenever he came into the room, he wouldn't speak to me as lovingly as he used to. She noticed that something is up. He's not talking the way he used to talk. He used to come very quickly, ask how you're doing, and leave. There was something also wrong with, you know, the Prophet ﷺ felt something as well. So she noticed something was wrong, but she couldn't put her finger on it. Next thing you know, she goes out with the mother of Mistah, which is her cousin. Mustah is her cousin. Ummu Mustah is her aunt. She goes out with Ummu Mustah. They go out to, again, they have a restroom area. They go out together. And so one thing that happens while they're going, she sees Ummu Mustah. She slips on something. She trips. And then she goes and says, may Ta'isa, Ta'isa Mustah, may Mustah be destroyed. And she goes, whoa, 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 whoa. Aisha says, whoa, why are you cursing your son like that? He's a Badri Sahabi. Aisha radiallahu said, he's a Badri Sahabi. You can't say things about that. Even if it's your son, you shouldn't say things like that. She said, no, don't you know what he's been saying about you? Don't you know what he's been saying about you? And Aisha radiallahu anha says, what he's been saying about me? Then the entire incident, coming back with Safwan, etc., etc. This was happening. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I was already so sick. And after that, I felt like I was going to die. Right? And this is the thing that people, at least at one time, used to be scared that people would say, this person's a zani, someone who's committing zina. Nowadays, people are so lax with boyfriend, girlfriend. So lax with boyfriend, girlfriend. Doesn't even matter. People call me zina, non-zina, right? You love him so much, you love her so much, that it's okay, let her go to Jahannam. That's fine, right? That's how much we love such a person. You understand that if you say, I love this person, then I want to be with them in a relationship, you're comfortable with this person going to Jahannam. This is what you're telling me. I love them so much, if they go to the hellfire, not a big deal. If you truly love them, what should you do? If you truly love them, you should say, this is zina we're doing, this is haram. If one of us were to die right now, we may go to Jahannam. Let's cut this right now. You know, if we truly love each other, Allah will bring us together in nikah. The Prophet ﷺ said that no people, if they truly love each other, will find something will bring them together closer than nikah. If they were to truly love each other, they'll see that nikah will be it. If they truly love one another, they would say, we're not going to talk to one another because this is zina. We're going to get sin. And if we really love each other, we want to be with each other in Jannah. That's what it is. And we should be scared that our families would be embarrassed. You know, there was once a time where we were embarrassed that if our mom and dad found out, we'd be shameful. Nowadays, we brag in front of our mom and dad. This and this and this and this. I run away with this girl, it's fine, you know? La ilaha illallah, if this guy is so confident to run away with you and not tell anybody, he's confident to run away with any other girl. He'll run away from you and get someone else too. I don't trust nobody. You think every man is a wolf here. With all due respect, Mr. Wolves, you know? Every man, we see it and we see the cunningness in his eyes. We see the treachery and we don't play with this. You protect your daughters, you protect your sisters because men will play with them left and right, waliyadu billah. You know, there was once a time where people used to be scared about these things. So if you love this person really legitimately, say, inshallah, let's get married. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, you know? So if you truly love them, you should fall more in love after you're distant. Not like I hate him afterwards. You know what happens? These people go on such a ride in Disneyland within their first like 1 or 2 months of boyfriend, girlfriend. Then they realize when they separate for like a little bit, they don't even like them anymore. Because why? Because you weren't thinking with the right head, if you get what I'm saying. You know? So this is the thing that we see. Allah Ta'ala help us and protect us, save all of our kids. It's haram. It's haram. You should not be doing it. You should tell yourself that this is wrong. If I were to die now, I might go to Jahannam for it. And she might go to Jahannam. Why am I going to do this? So Aisha radiallahu anha, she's about to die because of the feeling that someone will say she committed zina. She's scared and terrified. She gets so sick, she said, I wish I could just fall into a well and die. Kind of like what Maryam alayhi salam went through. Maryam alayhi salam said the same thing. So when she realized that people might say that she committed zina, she was so scared, so heartbroken, she said, I'd rather just die right now. Because I don't want my honor to be disrespected like that. So Aisha then gets incredibly sick. She starts crying and crying and crying. She never stops crying. The entire incident I'm going to tell you right now, from day one that she hears about it, she doesn't stop crying. Morning and evening, she's crying. She goes back home. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes, says, Ya Rasulullah, will you give me permission to go meet my parents? The Prophet says, yes, you can go meet your parents. She goes out to meet her parents. She meets her mother and father. She goes to meet her mother first. Her father's upstairs reading Quran. Her father's Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, right? So Aisha radiallahu anhu says, mother, why didn't you tell me that people were saying things about me like this? Why didn't you mention anything? And her mother says, oh, Aisha, there are many jealous women. People just say things about you because people are jealous of how attractive you are, how great you are, how much the Prophet loves you. She said that it's not your fault, Aisha, just something people said, you know? And so she tried to say that, and Aisha starts crying more. She says, you should have just told me at least. You could have just told me that they were saying this. And so she cries even more and she shrieks and she starts wailing as much as she can because she's so, you know, bothered by what's happening. So then her father comes down and says, what's happening? And then her mother goes and says, oh, husband, this is what's happening. Aisha just heard about the news. And then she says, father, won't you say something? And Abu Bakr sees her and he starts crying too. Because what can he say? He has no proof on this side, he has no proof on that side. He's Siddiq. He has to speak the truth. So he just stays silent and he starts crying because he knows how much he's paining his daughter. He can't say a single thing. Now she's crying, her mother's crying, they're crying. Everyone is going through a mess, a whirlwind of emotions. And now Aisha radiallahu anha says, I got sicker and sicker and I kept crying and crying and I felt like it would never stop. And to the point my mother and father thought I was going to die from crying. Because this is how much I felt so disheartened by what's happening. And no wahi, no revelation is coming. No Quran, no ayats are coming. Now everyone is in total panic. This is, by the way, when people say the Prophet made up Quran, I say, do you know what he went through in his life? If he made up Quran, he would have just said this ayah right now, it would have been done for. But the Prophet has to wait. Because why? Because it's not by his choice, by Allah's choice. So the Prophet is also panicking. He's also nervous. He's also worried. So he starts bringing Sahaba over. He says, Usama, come. Ali, come. Give me some idea. What should I do? What should I say? Because he's also nervous now. Why should it be my wife is going through this difficult situation? What do I do? Usama radiallahu anhu, he loves the Prophet and says, O Messenger of Allah, don't worry. She is a pious woman. We only know good from these women. A pious wife, a pure wife. That's what she is. So don't worry, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Things will clear up soon. You just be patient. He tries to strengthen his heart like this. But Ali radiallahu anhu is on the other side. And he tries to strengthen the Prophet in a different way. He tries to strengthen, like when you have a brother, you know, going through a bad relationship. He says, don't worry, man. You get, there's plenty of fish in the sea. This is literally what it translates to. Okay, he says, when nisa'u siwahunna kathir, right? The women besides her are many, O Messenger of Allah. Lam yudayyiq illahu alayk. Allah didn't make it difficult on you. If you need to, O Messenger of Allah, you can just marry another. Don't be upset. But then Ali radiallahu anhu says at the end of it, he says, but you should ask her. She has one servant in her house, Barira. Says, you should ask Barira. Maybe she'll give you some hints about what's Aisha radiallahu anhu, anything wrong with her. So Ali radiallahu anhu, again, didn't mean it to offend Aisha. Aisha radiallahu anhu says in the hadith of Bukhari, he says, when Ali said that, I was always mad at him for what he said. You know, she's Siddiqa, she's honest. She cannot not be honest. She told you about Juraidia, how much she doesn't like her, because that's how honest she is. She can't help it because she's Siddiqa. You know, she's truthful. So in any case, she said that when Ali said that, I was just so mad at him. You know, like, how dare he say such a thing? So the Prophet ﷺ calls Barira. He says, Barira, come. And Barira comes and says, oh, Messenger of Allah, what is it? He says, Atashhadina anni Rasulullah? Do you bear witness that I'm the Messenger of Allah? She said, Bala, of course. Naam. Yes, I do. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, so can you tell me that, and wala taktaminahu, don't hide anything. Wala taktuminahu, don't hide it. Tell me anything you know about Aisha. Do you know anything bad of her? Because the Prophet ﷺ wants to make sure it's clear. This is the thing about when an incident of slander happens, that you need to make things clear. So the Prophet asked Barira, who's one of the closest friends to her. And Barira says to the Messenger of Allah, وسلم, he says, Ya Rasulullah, ma ra'aytu minha. I didn't see anything from her. An aghmisahu, that I would consider it a defect or a fault. Qattu, at all. Siwa, except that I saw that she would be making the dough. Right, making the dough at home. And because she's such a young girl, she falls asleep while making the dough. And when she wakes up, she finds that a goat has eaten the dough. The Barira says, this is the only thing I can say about Aisha. That she's just so, and why did she say it? She's so innocent, O Messenger of Allah. She's so innocent of a girl. She's ghafila. You know, the Quran praises this word. It says ghafila. When a woman is naive and innocent, this is something praiseworthy. You know, people think like a man wants to marry a PhD. So what, he can just be fighting at home with a PhD? No, he wants to marry someone who has a little... That's why Ghazali says, you marry someone with less education than yourself. Because that way, mashallah, you know, you can enjoy this discussion. That she'll be spunky, she'll be nice, she'll be witty against you, and she'll be smart. And you like that relationship. Husbands like that relationship. You know, it's nice when you can see that the wife can respond with a good response. You know, when you say, I'll see you in Jannah, she'll say, we'll see if you make it there, brother. You know, that's, mashallah, real life experience. Okay? So it makes you laugh. Why is everything so serious all the time? You know, why? Just be calm, relax. So Aisha, you know, so she was naive, she was innocent, she was sweet, she was gentle, she was so, there was nothing wrong with her. But he just said, it's the only thing I could say, that she falls asleep while making dough. And the Prophet said something, he said, all right, that's it. So he goes on to the minbar, and he says, and all the Sahaba are there, because now the commotion is spread to amongst the Sahaba, Munafiqeen, everyone. Medina is having a ride with this. Everyone's talking about this. Prophet summons all of them to the masjid, and he says that who will speak about my wife after I, he goes and says, my ya'zuruni, who will give me excuse if I take that person to task who's talking about my wife? The Prophet says, who will take me to task? And so one person, the leader of the Aus tribe, the two tribes of Medina, Aus and Khazraj. So the Aus tribe person says that he stands up and says, Ya Rasulullah, we'll never, if you want to finish him now, if he's from Aus, we'll finish him for you. Right? And they go and say, he adds one extra thing. He says, and if he's from Khazraj, the other tribe, we'll finish him too. And you already know, these are fighting words. So then what happens? Khazraj stands up. One guy stands up, the leader tribe, he's like, no, you better try to kill him. We'll see if you can kill him. Right? You'll see, try your best. And then another person from Aus stands up, the cousin of the leader, he goes and says, no, we'll definitely kill him. And we're gonna, you're also a munafiq. You're a hypocrite. You're just trying to defend the munafiqeen, and it's getting loud. Now everyone's shouting and screaming in the masjid. It's becoming very serious. And the Prophet says, silences them. He spends the entire day trying to silence them. Says, stop talking. Finally, they all calm down because they realize the Prophet is telling them not to. But you can imagine how much commotion is happening, how much seriousness is happening. All the while, Aisha radiallahu anha is in the door right next door. He's there with her parents and things like that. And then what happens? She's crying and crying and crying. And while she's crying, a woman comes to the door. She's Ansariya, another Ansari lady from Medina. And she goes and says, may I come in? And then so she comes in and they say, what do you want? She says, can I just cry with Aisha? I just want to cry with her. This is something that sisters, they find comfort when other sisters are also feeling the same pain. Right? So then she comes in and she starts crying too with Aisha. Right? And so now they're both crying together. And then the Messenger of Allah SWT finishes his entire situation in the masjid. He goes into the house and finally he goes and says, he sits down and says, Aisha, please sit down. Then the Prophet SWT, he starts his khutbah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna. You know, like the shahada, the khutbah we do in Jummah, the Prophet starts it. Right? He goes and says, oh Aisha, I would like you to know that the Prophet is talking as best as he can. He's trying to tell Aisha on something important. Abu Bakr is there, her mother is there, Umm Ruman is there, and the woman, she left because she got scared when the Prophet entered. So now they're all there. The Prophet starts his khutbah and he goes and says, oh Aisha, I want you to know if you are innocent, Allah will declare your innocence. Okay? And if you aren't innocent, then just make tawbah and istighfar. Allah will forgive those who make tawbah and istighfar. It's not a bad message. Every husband here understood it. Okay, what did she understand? She said, at that moment, my tears dried up. Not a single tear came out. All the sadness I had was replaced with anger. Then she goes to her father and says, Abi, ajib anni Rasulullah SAW. She says, can you answer the Messenger of Allah for me? And Abu Bakr says, I can't. What am I supposed to say? Right? He says, whatever the Messenger of Allah says is the truth. And she goes to her mother and says, oh, Ya Ummah, O mother, ajibi anni an Rasulullah SAW. Can you answer the Messenger of Allah SAW? And then she says, what can I say? The Messenger of Allah SAW said such and such, you know? And she's enraged. She goes and says, I know how you people are. She says, I know how you people are. She's on the Prophet of Allah SAW. Listen, by the way, listen, whatever you get at home, be shukr, make shukr to Allah, okay? You're not going to get anything better than Sayyidatuna Aisha. And if she's like this, you're not going to, trust me, you're all like thinking, wow, this happened to me like yesterday. Okay, I kind of missed this because it's been like 2 weeks and I haven't any battles at home. You know, the jihad fi sabilillah is not happening anymore. You know, so this is the thing. Like, so Aisha radiallahu anha goes and says, it says, I know what you people are about. That even if I were to say that I'm innocent, you wouldn't believe me. If I said I was innocent, you wouldn't believe me. And if I made tawbah, then I would just verify what you were thinking about me anyways. She's very smart. She said, wallahi, I'm not going to say except what the father of Yusuf said. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانَ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. She looks at all of them and says, I have a beautiful patience. Allah, He will help me against what you're describing me about. She said, for that moment, that's it. No more tears. She stopped crying. She went to her bed. She lied down. She said, wallahi, Allah will reveal. He will tell the Prophet about my innocence. Right? But she said in the hadith, she said, but I didn't know that Allah would send down ayat in the Quran that we recited from masjid to masjid, from tongue to tongue, from person to person, from Muslim till the day of judgment will be recited. She thought it would come down in a dream or something like that. The angel will come and tell the Prophet, I didn't know Allah Ta'ala would make it that as soon as I lie down, the Prophet head goes down and he starts to sweat like he used to sweat when revelation came on him. He used to sweat, like they said, even if it were winter time, he'd be sweating uncontrollably because that's how revelation would come. He's sitting like so. Umm Ruman is there. Abu Bakr is there. They're looking at the Prophet and they're nervous. They're nervous because they don't know what's about to happen. It's been about a month since anything has come to the Prophet ﷺ. And they're scared that maybe our ayah will come down saying Aisha's like this or Aisha's like that. So they're all nervous, worried, scared. And Aisha's the only one in the room who knows it's going to be fine. She said, I was the only one who knew everything was going to be fine. Prophet ﷺ, he lowers his head. He sweats. He picks up and he's smiling. Abashiri, ya Aisha. Aisha, glad tidings. Congratulations, Aisha. Allah has revealed your innocence. Allah has revealed your innocence. 10 ayat in Surah An-Nur come down for Aisha radiallahu anha. 10 whole ayat come for Aisha radiallahu anha. Inna alladhina ja'u bil ifki usbatun minkum. Those who have come with the slander are a group from amongst you. La tahsabu sharra lakum. Don't think it's something bad. Bal huwa khayrun lakum. O family of Abu Bakr, this will be good for you. Allah says, Abu Bakr radiallahu anha's family, this will be good for you. Because why? Because you had sabr. And because of your sabr, Allah will reward you with something much greater. And we go through this all the time. People accuse us and things like that. Allah says, don't think it's bad for you. Bal huwa khayrun lakum. It's better for you. Watch, you'll see Allah will give you something so great because of it. So the ayat come down, 10 ayat, Allah says in there, why isn't that the believers, when they heard this news, they said, Subhanak, hada buhtanun azim. Glory be to you, Allah. This is a terrible lie, a terrible lie. Like how Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, when he heard this, he said, Subhanaka, hada buhtanan Allah. I don't know about any of this stuff. Aisha radhiallahu anha is free from such things. Why is it that you didn't try to find these four witnesses? Allah does says to them, where are the four witnesses? Bring the four witnesses. Why isn't that these people love to spread fahisha? Allah does spread ayah after ayah, reprimanding the Sahaba and reprimanding everyone in the room. How dare you say things about Aisha like so? She's the Maryam of this ummah. In Maryam alayhi salam, people criticized her about zina in her time. And Allah they revealed it on the tongue of Isa alayhi salam. And whereas Nabi Sayyidatuna Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she was slandered in her time. And it was revealed on the tongue of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. Allah says to everyone, says, why didn't you try? Why would you say such things about such innocent women? Never say such things again. Allah says, Ya'idhukumullah an ta'udhu li mithli abada. Allah advises you that you never say such things again, ever. If you are in kuntum mu'mini, if you're true believers. Aisha radhiyallahu anha hears this and she's happy. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hears this, she's happy. Abu Bakr isn't happy. Everyone's happy. Umm Ruman says, oh, Aisha, go and say thanks to your husband, Rasulullah. She said, I'm not thanking him. Did you expect anything less? Be happy with what you got. SubhanAllah. She said, I'm not thanking him. I'm going to thank Allah. Allah is the one who gave me this. I'm not going to go up to him and thank him right now. And the Prophet says, he get upset. He didn't get mad, he didn't get angry, because it's funny, it's nice. Why do we always get so upset? If she gets upset, we just smile. Why? Because she's like a light, she's like a fuse, right? She's like a candle, she's always fire. Right? Whereas a man's anger is like a time bomb, you know, like the, like it comes, right? And then it explodes. That's how a man's anger is. Whereas, a wife's anger will just be like a candle, is always on. And it's just fun, you know, to see how much fire you can throw on it, you know, see how big it can get. That's what I do, I enjoy it. It's comedy for me. The Prophet is just probably smiling, he's just enjoying it. Aisha radhiyallahu anha said, her father's crying so much. You know, he's crying because so much happiness and finally he knows. And she said, oh father, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you just say something? Why didn't you say something? He says, look, and this is because he's Siddiq. He says, Ayu Saman Taqiluni. Why I'm sorry, Ayu Saman Taqiluni? Why you Ardin Taqiluni? Ida qultu ma lam a'lam. He said, What sky will shade me? What earth will keep me up if I said something I don't know? He said, I have to speak the truth. So see you Siddiqa and Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu was Siddiq, right? Thereafter, what happens is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just 1-2 minutes, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he brings the news to all the Sahaba, and then the command comes down to whoever who said slander and whoever accused someone that you have to lash them 80 times. There are a few Sahaba who were innocent. They were just a bit naive on this topic, and they said the same thing that the hypocrite said. And so they were also lashed because of that such reason, such as Hassan bin Thabit radhiyallahu anhu. There's 3 Sahaba or so. And thereafter, he went to apologize to Aisha and said, we'll never say such things again. Mistah as well. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says about Mistah, which is his nephew. He says, wallahi, I'm never going to provide for Mistah again. I'm never going to give him a single thing again. Because he was a poor muhajir. The Prophet, Abu Bakr said, I will never provide for him again because he said such things about my daughter. So an ayah comes on for Abu Bakr too. And it says, وَلَا يَتَّلِي أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَسَاعَةِ أَيُؤْتُوا لِلْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And it's not right for those people who have great honor and great respect and great wealth to not give to those who are poor, but those who are muhajireen and those who go out and fight in the path of Allah. Allah says, Abu Bakr, wal ya'fu wal yasfahu, forgive and forget. Ala tuhibbuna yaghfir Allah lakum, don't you want Allah to forgive you? Abu Bakr is not like us who get emotional and angry and say, no. Even if you tell me ayah Quran, I'm not listening right now. What did he say? Wallahi inni la hibbu ay yaghfir Allah li. He said, wallahi, I love that Allah will forgive me. So he forgave Mistah and he knew what Allah wanted from him. He says, Mistah, instead of giving what I used to give, I'm going to give double now. Because I know that Allah, that I know to make proper tawbah to Allah, that's what I need to do. So Aisha then was absolved in the Quran. Until the day of judgment, these ayat are recited. If anyone speaks bad about Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha, Allah will reveal a specific ayah for them. Al-khabithatu lil-khabithin wal-khabithun lil-khabithat. Wal-tayyibatu lil-tayyibin wal-tayyibun lil-tayyibat. This ayah came down for Aisha, saying that the wicked are with the wicked, the evil are with the evil, evil men are with evil women, and evil women are with evil men. You know, if you are a good person, Allah will connect you with someone good. They are good, okay? And similarly, if you feel like you're a good woman, Allah will connect you with someone good. You'll find that there will be a lot of goodness. If you can just overlook some of the bad, okay? And Allah says, وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ لِلطَّيِّبِينَ. Pure men are for pure women, and pure women are for pure men. Allah says, Nabi Sallallahu is pure, that's why we gave him Aisha. And if you say Aisha is impure, then you're saying Nabi Sallallahu is, وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. That's why you're not allowed to speak bad about Aisha. She's the mother of this ummah. She's the Maryam of this ummah. Allah revealed her innocence from the heavens. The final thing is that the Prophet goes to Zainab, which is one of the wives. She didn't like Aisha. Her and Aisha always had a thing against each other. But the Prophet says, oh, Zainab, do you have anything against Aisha? Zainab says, Ya Rasulullah, I have nothing bad to say about her. She's extremely good. You know, this is why this is why the wives of the Prophet got along so well, because they never speak lies about each other, you know. So may Allah grant us tawfiq and understanding. This is what I remind for everyone here, that if you're going through a difficult time, people say things about you, people will always talk about you. It's part of life that people will talk. Okay, it's never gonna stop. If you do something bad, people will talk about how bad you were. If you do something good, people will talk about, oh my God, like, look how fake he is. You know, if we all had our weddings like this big, and look at him, he made his wedding small. What do you think, he's a show off? I did it for the sunnah, and yet I did such thing, and then they accuse me. This is how life is. Don't worry. Who has your back? Who will take care of you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us tawfiq and understanding. May Allah bless Sayyidatina Aisha. May Allah be pleased with all the sahaba. May Allah be pleased with all that they went through. May Allah allow us to understand that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not have an easy time. There were difficult times for him as well. And we can really relate. We can see that these things that happened to us in our time are things that happened to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. May Allah grant us tawfiq and understanding and know how to follow these sunnahs properly, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu alayhi Muhammad wa alayhi sahbihi ajma'in. I just want to quickly remind about Arawda Masjid, mashallah. They are on their phase two for their masjid, mashallah. It's a beautiful masjid. I went there before. Alhamdulillah, they're just working on trying to renovate. And subhanAllah, they already have one floor, which is carpeted, mashallah, very well done. Underneath the basement is what they're trying to work on, trying to carpet it fully. That's a lot of space. It's actually very huge, mashallah. And it's going to accommodate for a lot of Muslims in the area. Mashallah, it's one of the most active masjids, mashallah, in that area. They take care of a lot of students. A lot of children go and study there. Alhamdulillah, it's going to be a very beautiful masjid. It requires a little bit of contribution, inshallah, from our side, that we can get some of this ajr, inshallah ta'ala, till the day of judgment, that we provide something, inshallah ta'ala. The Prophet said, whoever builds Allah for Allah ta'ala a home in this world, a masjid, Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. We should try our best, inshallah, to provide something. They need about 200,000. They have 90,000 already, alhamdulillah. So whatever you can contribute, inshallah, for the sake of Allah, give for the sake of Allah. You see what Allah ta'ala, maybe that problem in our life that we could not solve, Allah will solve it because of the sadaqah, inshallah. May Allah grant us tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة من ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء. ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله.